You're now listening to a new episode of Gratitude Through Hard Times. Gratitude instills humility. Gratitude removes ego. Gratitude helps empower the best in others around you. Our goal is to guide individuals and companies to practice gratitude so you can live a longer, happier, and more successful life. Get ahead of life with connection and purpose. This is Gratitude Through Hard Times with Chris Shembra.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Gratitude Through Hard Times. For those of you that are loyal listeners, again, you've been familiar with the 747 Conversations podcast. We've been running for 3 years, but we've just recently rebranded it in association with our number one Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Gratitude Through Hard Times, that came out on June 22nd of 2022. If you're new to our podcast, I want to welcome you. If you have been given this episode by a friend or you stumbled upon it through SEO, I hope you are prepared for a heartfelt conversation as we bring on some of the world's great leaders to tell the stories of how they got to where they are today by maintaining an attitude of gratitude. Click that subscribe button. And if you like what you hear, we encourage you to share this episode with your friends. Take a look through the previous podcast archives and check out amazing episodes with everyone from Fortune 50 CEOs, Academy Award winners, Grammy Award winning, number one recording artist, and so much more. Today is going to be a special episode, and we're glad you're here with us today. Vishen Lakhiani, and I apologize for the exact pronunciation. There's so many different pronunciations across the internet, but he is a true hero of mine. He is a man who started off as a computer engineer, a senior leader at a rapidly growing Silicon Valley startup, had an existential life crisis at the age of 26, felt extreme stress, massive burnout, took up meditation, completely changed his life. He quit Silicon Valley to study meditation, teach it around the world to millions of people, and go deep into the mastery of human development. Mind Valley, his great company, was birthed as a result. It's one of the biggest full-spectrum life learning companies on the planet. They cover the bases of everything that makes you a fully developed, well-rounded human living a rich life, mind, body, spirit, entrepreneurship, performance, and beyond. Their offline and online programs, tens of millions of students, revenues approaching 100 million. But today we're here to talk about his newest book, The Six-Phase Meditation Method. He's a previous author of two New York Times bestsellers, The Code of the Extraordinary Mind, The Buddha and the Badass. Both links will be in the comments or in the show notes below. His newest book is a method of meditation that Vishen has taught to millions of people. He lays out his proven technique to supercharge your mind, manifest your goals, and make magic in minutes. This is extremely important for all you business owners out there that are saying, what? Meditation? That's the stuff they've been doing where they need me to go to an ashram in India for months to practice. No, Vishen's wisdom will give you life-changing results in minutes in your day. We're here to teach you about peak performance. The book is launching on September 20th. We're going to give away tons of bonuses, or Vishen is giving away tons of bonuses in the show notes below. So glad to have you here. We are honored that he is taking out the time to be with us in this busy lead up to this amazing book launch. So welcome to the podcast, Vishen. We're honored to have you here today.
Thank you, Chris. I love your mission. I love what you're doing for the business community. Your audience is phenomenal. Such an incredible audience of business owners. And I love that you're bringing gratitude into their lives.
It's work that saved my life. And it's always an honor to meet new business owners that gratitude is part of their business and founding and life story. Now, we're going to get into how gratitude plays into your book and your mission in just a few minutes. But we always have to ask the same question at the start of every podcast. It's a question that came to us on July 15th, 2015, and we've used it to spark over 500,000 relationships in the last 7 years. I wouldn't be remiss except to ask it to you here today. Vision, if you could give credit or thanks to one person in your life that you don't give enough credit or thanks to, that you've never thought to thank, that's hopefully never come up in your 3x3 gratitude exercises, who would that be?
I would say my ex-wife, Christina, for being such an amazing, loving entity to me and being an incredible mother to my children.
Ex-wife is not normally something that, or someone that people think of giving gratitude to. Did you feel it during the marriage or only after the marriage, before the marriage, in spite of the marriage? Because
no, I felt it. I felt it all the time, even throughout the marriage. But sometimes you don't end a marriage because you don't have enough gratitude for the person. You end a marriage because the time for those two souls to play together in that context is done. And then you end the marriage for different reasons. And our time together as husband and wife was done. And now we are together as business partners, as friends, as co-parents. Things evolve. The idea that you stay with one person forever and ever and ever is an artificial construction. It is not how souls were meant to function. In most cases.
Thank you for sharing that story. It's amazing to hear you talk about the timing of souls and the timing of things. It brings me to my first question for this conversation. First of all, for our listeners, would you have imagined that someone would be on this podcast giving gratitude to a relationship that started off looking a different way than how it ended? There's probably a lot of relationships in your life that might look on the surface, might look negative, or they might have created hard or challenging times, but the overwhelming net positive benefit from that relationship can sometimes greatly outweigh the negative. And for that, you can be grateful to relationships through hard times. In your book, you write that the most common side effect of meditation is that you end up caring about humanity way more than you ever thought you could. Why is it important for business owners right here and now to band together to solve some of society's great challenges? And how can this book help them with that banding together and caring more about humanity? Why is now the time to come together?
So it is not necessarily important for business owners to band together to solve humanity's greatest challenges. That is great. That's fundamentally awesome, right? But when you say something like that, you do confuse a lot of business owners. I mean, if you have a, let's say you have a company manufacturing t-shirts, are you going to change humanity? Possibly not. But what you can do with any type of business you run is understand that your business is your temple. Your business is the greatest vehicle for your own personal growth. The great MBA professor, Sri Kumar Rao, who teaches at Columbia University and Kellogg, the Kellogg School of Business and London Business School, he once told me the biggest problem with American MBA programs is that they fail to teach consciousness. And I said, of course they do. They teach consciousness. And he goes, no. You're confusing consciousness with ethics. Since Enron, everyone teaches ethics. Consciousness is different. Consciousness means we understand that we are spiritual beings having a human experience and we need to grow within the context of this spirituality. And he said, and here's the most important lesson that business schools forget, including Harvard, including Stanford. They don't tell you this number one rule. And the rule is this: the most important thing to understand in life is that the most important thing is your rate of evolution. Everything else comes secondary. Your business is not the most important thing. Your business, rather, is the ultimate vehicle for your personal evolution. If your business fails, it doesn't matter. If your business hits $1 billion, it doesn't matter. What matters is the act of running your business helping you grow. Now, one can grow in many ways. One can grow in terms of your fitness. One can grow in terms of your intellectual ability. But the ultimate growth, the ultimate growth is growing in terms of your awareness of the powers within, growing in terms of your awareness of just how powerful a being of consciousness you are, that your consciousness extends beyond your physical body, that your consciousness can manipulate reality. And a key realization as you go deeper into any study of consciousness is that you move towards a concept called unity. Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote the book Conversations with God, he says that the ultimate value of advanced consciousness is the understanding that separation is an illusion. Now, here we come to what you were talking about, right? Separation is an illusion. Separation serves a purpose. It allows us to embrace our individuality. But ultimately, separation is an illusion. You are deeply connected to everything in the world. You are deeply connected to your employees. You're connected to your family. You're connected to your customers. And your intention, your consciousness influences them even as you sleep, even as you are working in your business. When you think something negative about someone, you manifest that negativity in a greater way. When you think grateful thoughts about someone, you create, without you even thinking, without you even telling them, you create a greater bond between the two of you. The Rumi said, and this is an exercise all of you can practice, I closed my eyes and spoke to you in 1,000 silent ways. And what the Rumi was talking about is that we can communicate with each other without voice by simply closing our eyes and thinking about the person. And you choose how you think about the person. You can choose to think about the person with love. You can choose to think about the person with gratitude. You can choose to think about the person with frustration, with hate, with envy, with jealousy, with anger. But whatever you send out, whether it's the energy of love or it's the energy of hate and everything within that spectrum, because you and the person are connected. Because remember, separation is the illusion. Unity is the reality. Whatever energy you put out will influence you back. This is why studies on forgiveness, studies on gratitude are showing such insane results. Let's look at gratitude, for example. Studies on gratitude show that when you practice gratitude, your happiness level goes up and it stays up even 9 months later, even 9 months after your daily gratitude practice. If you do it for 30 days, then you stop. 9 months later, you're still happier than a control group. Gratitude helps heal your body. Gratitude helps improve your heart health. Gratitude helps lessen feelings of anxiety or depression. Gratitude helps you sleep better. And then now they look at studies on forgiveness. Bizarre stuff. Forgiveness, when you forgive someone, your endurance goes up. Your vertical jump goes up. How about that? You can actually jump higher. Feelings of anxiousness, feelings of depression go down. And your life changes. This is because we are all deeply connected. Every time you think about an employee and you're like, damn, oh God, I can't believe I hired this person, you are making their performance worse, even if you do not utter a single word. This is why the greatest thing we can do as human beings is to move towards unity. Everything else is an illusion. The politicians who tear us apart, the media who pits us against us versus them, because that is a damn good way to market a product. All of these things are actually taking you away from your own fundamental truth. Neil Donald Walsh says, we are so deeply connected. It is like, I'm in an apartment right now in an Airbnb in Los Angeles. There's a particular air in this Airbnb. I just made a cup of coffee, so you can smell the coffee in this particular Airbnb. But the air in this Airbnb is not enclosed in this Airbnb. As soon as I open the door and step out, that air is going to move towards, that smell of coffee is going to move into the corridors, and anyone else who steps into the corridor is going to smell that coffee. We are connected like that. Our consciousness never actually ends. It blends into all life. We are connected to plants, we're connected to energies, we're connected to animals, we're connected not just to our family, we're connected to the homeless person that we pass by on the street. And when you can understand that, when you can move towards that level of understanding, you cannot hurt someone else, because you understand that you and them are merely one.
Unity. You and them are merely one. Forgiveness. Compassion. Gratitude. Happiness. These are many themes that you write about in your book. And for those of you who are listening, it might sound intimidating to hear the amazing ability that Vishen has to rattle off such tremendously wise quotes, comes from decades of reading the world's best books and full immersion in these topics. What Vishen has done has written a book and invented a method that gives you access to this internal being, way of being, through a 15 to 20 minute transcendental meditation. Now, Vishen, for the people who are listening and we hear the word meditation, again, they might be thinking that they have to go to India to practice for months on end. They may be thinking that they have to study 1,000 pages of scripture to understand it. But you actually hate the word meditation, and you prefer to describe your process a whole different way, rooted in science and personal right. study. How would you describe the process it took you to get to creating a framework that is easy for someone to digest in 15 to 20 minutes that hasn't yet had the benefit of education that you've had in these topics?
So I started studying meditation in a deep way in 2002. I became a protege of Jose Silva, who founded the Silva Method, which was really the first big meditation program that emerged into the United States. And now the Silva Method is part of Mindvalley, and I'm the new face of the Silva Method. Going from the Silva Method, as I built up the Mindvalley platform, I started going deep in meditation. And one of the things that people fail to realize is that the word meditation is as obscure as the word exercise. If somebody says, I exercise, it doesn't really tell you much about them, because are they doing Zumba? Are they doing high intensity interval training? Are they doing yoga? Are they playing tennis? All of these things have a different impact on the human body. They're all mostly good. Some exercises, you know, science is showing may have some negative side effects, just like some medicines have some negative side effects, but exercise is too broad a word. Meditation is the same. There are thousands of different ways one can meditate. And that's why I don't like that word, because it's confusing. And most people think meditation is about stilling your mind and focusing on your breath. But many entrepreneurs cannot do that. What makes you an entrepreneur is the fact that your mind is constantly racing, creating, jumping from one thing to another. That is your superpower. You do not want to slow that down. So what I prefer to call it is a transcendental practice. A transcendent practice is any practice where you transcend the physical and you go within. Gratitude is a transcendent practice. When you close your eyes and you think about something you're grateful for, you are going within. Forgiveness is a transcendent practice. When you practice a forgiveness protocol to heal your soul from anger or grief, that's a transcendent practice. Likewise, when you close your eyes and think about the future you want to build for you and your family, that is a transcendent practice. When you close your eyes and you emanate love to the world, that is a transcendent practice. Now, the six-phase meditation is six unique transcendent practices that layer on top of each other. Each takes about 2 minutes to do. And so the entire approach is about 15 minutes, counting the time it takes you to go into your meditation, the time it takes you to come out. And the six-phase meditation, each of these six transcendent practices is proven to create a dramatic impact in your life. And when you stack them together, the results are palpable. You feel the results. You are fundamentally different. I've had entrepreneurs come to me and said, because of this, they took their company to 100 million. There have been sports stars who have, for example, the US Open was recently happening, and a crazy story, Bianca Andreescu, who beat Serena Williams in 2019 in the US Open Tennis Championships, she credited this. She was a student of the six-phase meditation. Miguel, the R&B star, there was an article about him in Billboard magazine where he does the six-phase before his concerts. Sports stars, pop stars, They can feel the difference when they get on the field or the tennis court or the stage. But it happens to CEOs as well. When you do this, the way you show up at work is different by layering on these six powerful transcendent practices. And it only takes 15 minutes a day. You do not have to clear your mind. You do not have to move to an ashram. You do not have to chant or buy any prayer beads. You do not have to sit cross-legged. You just have to follow the mental script that we give you.
Folks, in Vishen's book, and then available on the app and available on the, you know, the platform, which tens of millions of people use, he gives you not only the scripts for these practices, but he also has videos of him guiding you through these practices. It's such an amazing story of your learning at the Silva. For those of you who aren't familiar, Vishen's story with the Silva method involved him using his last dollar, it seemed, to go fly to Los Angeles to go to a Silva learning training seminar course. And the trainer, Amanda, and him were the only people in the room. So he's like, what the heck am I doing here? I used my last dollar to get here. But he took the course. He started doing the program. His sales doubled every 4 weeks. He was selling, for all you law firm owners that are listening, he was selling software for law firm owners to use in their practices. And after he learned meditation, his sales would double every 4 weeks until he became VP of sales and business development. So this worked in his story, which is why he then built a company that teaches tens of millions of people about this. So it really works. And he's got the proof and so many, in 17,000 different case studies on his website, that this stuff works. But what I want to ask you the question, Vishen, is that, you know, earlier you were talking about gratitude, happiness, forgiveness, compassion, unity. You talk about how one of six phases, right? The phases are split up into two things, the pillar of happiness and the pillar of vision. The first three phases are focused on the past and the present. And the second three phases are focused on the future. Now, to go to the first pillar, your first phase is the circle of love and compassion. And you say that compassion is the act of moving from judgment to caring, from isolation to connection, from difference to understanding. We all know, and many of our listeners have heard us saying, that loneliness is one of the greatest epidemic our world faces today. You know, the great Surgeon General said that loneliness is equivalent to the reduction of the lifespan of smoking 15 cigarettes a day, 7 years off your life. My question to you is, when judgment is the opposite of compassion, and the opposite of compassion is disconnection and isolation, what is a moment in your life where you felt lonely, isolated, being judged by or in judgment of others? And how did this meditation method allow you to shift towards the lens of compassion? And this example could be recently. If you have this pop up into your, you could be the greatest guru of this material, but still need this work more than anybody out there.
So I was living in the country of Malaysia, and Malaysia is a very heavily religious country. The religions there are mostly Islam. And so when I first started building the company Mind Valley there, because I was born in Malaysia, a lot of people thought, like, this is crazy. This guy's teaching meditation. Like, these things were not acceptable. And I remember people just hating me, hating what I was doing. And it could get really tough sometimes. There would be horrible articles about me online, on online forums and stuff, saying I'm building a cult, that I am not respecting local culture and values. And doing the sixth phase and being able to understand that even the people who are judging you, the people who tear you down, they are souls you're connected to. And They are not necessarily evil or bad. They are simply people who are unaware of who they really are. And they are probably going through their own grief, their own moments of jealousy or bitterness, probably because of something that happened in their life or something that they were unable to access. And you still see them with love. And it helps you survive in these environments that can sometimes be difficult or vindictive or difficult or hateful.
We've all heard the phrase of when we're in conflict with others, what does it look like to be the bigger person? What does it look like to lead with compassion ourselves and not rely on others to change their ways? The six-phase meditation method teaches you that. You know, if you've listened to our podcast, you often hear us talk about the Arbinger Institute's book, Anatomy of Peace, Resolving the Heart of Conflict. And in that book, The Anatomy of Peace, they say a simple sentence: in order to see the change you want to see in others, first, you have to make the change within yourself.
Right.
And this is Vishen's, this is an example of Vishen's method, is that by creating a transcendent practice that shifts you into the mindset of love and compassion, into gratitude, into forgiveness, into vision making, into happiness, into all these things, you are only relying on your own agency to create that change. You don't have to rely on others to fix themselves in order for that conflict to be healed.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Have you read that book before?
No.
Oh, I haven't. It's so good. Oh, The Anatomy of Peace, Resolving the Heart of Conflict.
Wow.
International bestseller in conflict resolution for about 3 decades.
I'll keep that
it
in mind.
It is good. Now, you know, just to honor Vishen's time, because he's got hundreds of these podcasts leading up to launch, you know, the first three phases of the meditation focus in on happiness and coming into the present and diving into the past. And the second phases are the pillars of vision. And specifically phase 4, you help people create a vision for your future. What I loved about that is it reminded me of the time when we produced a party with Jack Canfield's team, and it was called Come As You'll Be
right.
In 5 years. We were getting people to show up in costume as doctors or lawyers or fathers of three or whatever it may be. Now, in that section, you use a quote: if your dreams don't scare you, they aren't big enough. Tell me about how you use this six-phase meditation method to help people dream bigger and overcome that fear.
So one of the things is, so in phase 4, what you're actually practicing is a concept called creative visualization. Now, you are seeing, creative visualization was first pioneered by Jose Silva. As I mentioned, I'm a protege of Jose Silva, so I've helped take that practice now, starting with his work, to the next level. When you are in a rested state of mind, where your brain frequency is beating at the alpha level of mind, this is typically what you get to when you are meditating, and phase 1, 2, and 3 of the 6 phase help you get there. It's relaxed, peaceful, zen-like state of being. You're perfectly ripe to program your mind like you would program. Remember VCRs when they were a thing, when you had to program the VCRs?
Mm-hmm.
Programming a VCR could be an absolute pain, right? I could never figure it out. But you can program your mind in an easier way than it is to program the VCR. And the trick is creative visualization. So you see the vision of what you want to create in the world. You see that vision. And by seeing the vision and feeling the emotion, your ability to believe that that vision is possible grows. But the other thing that happens is that you program your mind, because your subconscious doesn't see time. Your subconscious starts believing that that vision is already there. And interesting things start happening. So you might see yourself running a business doing 10 million in sales. And of course, if your business is 1 million, to grow by 10 times, your life is going to be different. The way you walk is going to be different. Your confidence level, the way you show up in the world, the way you host an event is going to be different. There's a massive difference between being at 1 million and being at 10 million. When you start seeing that and feeling the emotions of being at that 10 million threshold, what starts happening is that your subconscious starts believing that is real. And your identity starts shifting bit by bit by bit. Now, the law of attraction is not based on your wants. The law of attraction is based really on your resonance. The universe doesn't give you what you want. Rather, the universe gives you who you are. As you start believing and seeing yourself in the characteristics, in the mindset, in the identity of this person who runs a $10 million business, the odds of that $10 million business coming to you start multiplying. The right synchronicities, the right coincidences, the right people. Remember, we are deeply connected to everyone else, but we are also deeply connected to the illusion of how the world functions, what in Sanskrit they call Maya. This illusion is malleable. You can poke it, you can bend it, you can shift it. Luck is something that you can choose. And so by practicing creative visualization at these altered states of mind, you are training the core of your being, your subconscious, to radiate and shift the reality of the world to give you that reality that you seek. We call this the law of resonance.
In your book, you actually talk about bending reality. And you talk about elevating people's visions and fearing failure less, shooting for bigger and bigger impact. But there's also a part of your book, which is also in the gratitude section that helps with this. And it's talking about the happiness gap, the forward gap and the reverse gap. So what vision is talking about in the pillar of vision is elevating the vision of where you want to go, but he's laid down the foundation earlier in the meditation of appreciating where you've been. Can you talk about briefly Dan Sullivan's forward gap versus reverse gap? We all have the I'll be happy when thing syndrome.
Yeah. So most business owners look at where they want to go and then they set their happiness based on I will be happy when I achieve target A, B, C. What Dan Sullivan, who's an incredible entrepreneur coach, Google him. This idea comes from him. He's a great man, and I want to give credit where it's due. He talks about the importance of business owners having what is called a reverse gap. The reverse gap is really simple. It's rather than see the gap between you and the person, the business you want to build, appreciate the gap between who you are now and who you were 3 years ago. Like 3 years ago, my business was half the size. 3 years ago, I did not have as much free time as I have right now. 3 years ago, I had half the wealth I have right now. Appreciate that. Appreciate how far you've come. And as you can live in that feeling of appreciation, what happens is that you bridge the forward gap. What you appreciate, appreciates. And you move faster towards this forward gap.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You have to have a base layer of appreciating where you've been in order to set the vision on where you're going.
Exactly.
I suck at setting a vision for where I want to go because I have a success avoidance. I have a fear of success in my own mind. So I can't wait to put the six-phase meditation method into practice to actually force some of those things to come into my, to come into my being. It's now Vishen, you've written this amazing book, which really supports the work you've done with millions of people through your online and offline educational programs. What do you hope someone does with this wisdom that you've put out into the world? Like, what is your ultimate hope that people can take away from this exact message that you've written about?
My ultimate hope is for people to understand that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and everything starts with being able to tap into the power of our soul, that intuition, the ability to manifest our future, the ability to connect with guidance, the ability to feel deeply connected with all life are so important. Our schooling system doesn't teach us this, but this is the secret. This is the grand magic trick that makes life easy, that helps you build incredible businesses. This is the secret that helps you live a life that seems blessed. If you've ever read the book Titan, which is the story of John D. Rockefeller, who was the richest man who ever lived, there's a poem that John D. Rockefeller penned to himself at the age of 83, and the poem goes with this. I was early taught in life to work as well as play. My life has been one long happy holiday, full of work, full of play. And God was good to me every day. This is the life you want. A life where work and play are unified, where stress and overwhelm doesn't touch you, and where God is good to you every day, which means that you are blessed by luck. This life is possible for everyone. We just haven't been trained to get there. And this is what the six-phase meditation is designed to do. And so the book is available if you go to mindvalley.com/6. You can get the book and you get an incredible trainer app that trains you on it. You can also find the book on Amazon. It's available. It's coming out September 20th.
Mission, thank you for being here. To all of those that have been watching and listening, first of all, this is the most nervous I've ever been on a podcast episode. There's a fine line between reading a book and highlighting a million things, putting it on a piece of paper with notes, and looking at the notes or not looking at the notes. And I've been struggling to blend those two together. Why I say that is, that's how much I highlighted, and that's how much is quotable in this man's book.
Thank you.
I couldn't only have a conversation without referencing a lot of things. Mm. So the show note or the place to buy the book is in the show notes below, the link to the Mindvalley courses and Mindvalley training app and so many more things. Once you step into the Mindvalley world, your world will be consumed by Mindvalley. This is for you, your teams, your family, your friends. It's a whole life learning educational system. As Nelson Mandela said, well, not Nelson Mandela didn't say to Vishen early on, but one day when Vishen was at an existential crisis at the age of 26, which I know was a similar age to that many of you started your own businesses, he Googled many things. And one of the things that helped him the most was a quote by Nelson Mandela that said, if you want to change the world, change education. Vishen is the amazing king of providing these life learning, consciousness educations online and offline and through this book. Go support everything, bring them into your team, and you'll have so many great blessings in your life. And I'm not gonna say that life's gonna be easy from here on out. Your life will be probably filled with a lot of shit moments, but his book even teaches you how to have gratitude through the hard times, just like our book, Gratitude Through Hard Times, teaches. So there's complete alignment. If you loved our book, you'll love this book of his. Thanks for tuning in. Again, if you're a frequent listener, you sharing your thoughts, questions, comments, concerns every week is sometimes the highlight of my week. If you're new here, click that subscribe button, share this message with others, and keep tuning in to Gratitude Through Hard Times. Hope you're having a phenomenal day on Earth. Remember, folks, it's your world. Go explore, and we'll see you next episode.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for everyone listening.